T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
The most played rivalry in NFL history. Both teams tied for the most wins all time at 786. One of these teams will have the advantage after today. Fields, oh, what a move to move past Nixon. And Justin Fields ahead of the field and gone. What a run. The two-score Chicago lead.
There was probably a lot of people that felt good at 19-10. So did I.
Here's the handoff, Dylan around the left side.
Yeah.
15, he's to the 10, he's to the 5, fighting to the goal line. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers.
So you definitely draw a lot of confidence and good memories off of this matchup. We've had a tremendous amount of success during my time against them. I've enjoyed playing here, a lot of great memories here.
Rodgers under center, single back offense. Motion by Watson to the left side, give to Christian Watson, around the left end.
There he goes, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. He leaps into the end zone for the dagger.
Fields looking to throw over the middle, it's intercepted. Intercepted by Jair Alexander inside the 30-yard line of the Green Bay Packers.
It means a lot. You know, I think that's part of the legacy. You know, you always want to leave the place you're at better than you found it. And right now, we flipped the all-time series. We flipped the all-time wins. We've had a lot of success against them. So I think in a few years, you look back and you feel pretty good about your contributions to the rivalry.
Obviously, the significance of this game, that's a pretty cool deal for us to be the all-time winningest franchise.
Whether this is the last one for Aaron Rodgers in this rivalry or not, it was a memorable one. He moves to 25-5 lifetime against the Chicago Bears.
We didn't see any shouting into the crowd or anything today, but do you think the performance today keeps your ownership?
Yes. A lot of middle fingers.
Oh, hey, you.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jeff.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We're hoping to track down Jalen Johnson here in just a minute or two. If our wires got crossed with him, we apologize for promoting him. We thought we were locked in. We'll see if he's already out of here on his bye week, but I'm sure Jalen will come on at some point, if not in the next couple of minutes. Plenty of time, though, to still talk Bears after what was, for some, a conflicting loss, for others, a celebratory loss, but regardless of how you felt about the draft pick and winning or losing that game, common ground should be able to be found on the quarterback had, by his own admission and most people's eye test and a lot of the numbers, his best passing game of the season and arguably his best all-around game of his short career.
As Trent Dilfer moves on to his life as the University of Alabama Birmingham coach, we'll always have the buckets.
Yes.
And the playmaker bucket we know is there for Justin Fields. The stuff bucket we have learned
is there for Justin Fields and was proven again in this game just by playing through that injury and the toughness and all that stuff.
Yep. Absolutely. And I thought yesterday was the best day for the pocket passer bucket. There was the perfect ball to EQ St. Brown. What, fourth play of the game? On the right side, between the zone there for 24 yards as it crossed over the middle. My God, that was a gorgeous play. Hit Chase Claypool on a couple of plays in a row in the second quarter, the second of which was fumbled by Claypool. But both of those, one was a comebacker, one was a crossing pattern. the one that we all couldn't stop watching, the jaw dropper, the deep ball to Equanimeous St. Brown in rhythm, just absolutely perfect in stride.
Incredible. And the fact that he can have that running play and throw that deep ball and have the play where he stops, manipulates the defense, looks like he's going to run, and then fires to Komet, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a couple of minutes. Mixing all of that in within the context of a lot of people didn't even want him to play in the game. You know, well, just sit him. That's why I told you, man. Like, I admittedly, like, sometimes Bernstein can be a doctor on the radio and he's very medically informed and has medical sources. I don't know. I don't know if he should play, if he shouldn't play. I feel like they hide so much stuff from us. Fields today said that he knew he was going to play Sunday. Back on Wednesday,
I understand that in retrospect. Last week, he was so obviously in pain.
Yeah,
you know, on the Wednesday when he was talking, it was like, right. What are we doing here? And explaining the injury to you, that was, I think, just as clear that he was not going to play.
Right, but I remember like when we had you, me, Dan, and Lawrence in, and they were both like, I wouldn't play him because why be risky? And it was like, yeah, what you guys are saying makes all the sense in the world. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know what his pain tolerance is. Guys play when they're hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be prepared for if he's playing to watch him be hurt. And then he didn't look hurt, but it's just kind of crazy that he could, in a game where they abandoned the running game, right? He had
abandoned the designed
The designed running game.
Yes.
The Fields running game. Sorry, I'm only really talking through the prism of Justin Fields because he's the only thing that really matters. But like that stopped. And he was still so great passing the ball. It was just amazing. But let's talk to Jalen Johnson.
Yes, a little later we'll talk about that Komet play and get into detail on it. It
was an incredible play of awareness. But his bye week does not officially start until he talks to us. So Jalen Johnson with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Jalen?
What's up, boss? How you doing?
Doing good, man. We're not keeping you from the plane, are you? You didn't forget about it. You're mad that you got one more commitment before vacation officially starts?
Nah, y'all my guys, man. But I totally forgot. I've been ripping and running, trying to pack and get things situated. But I'm good right now. I got some time for sure.
Okay, we appreciate that. So how are you feeling about what that defensive performance? Because we were talking about it. Like, again, there was no quarterback hits and pass rush or all that. You had, you know, Vildor's out, Brisker's out, Gordon's out, obviously Eddie Jackson's out. You're the last, like, starter out there. And it seemed to the untrained eye, man, that your secondary mates held up pretty damn well against Aaron Rodgers. How do you think you guys did in the back four?
Shoot, I feel the exact same way. I feel very pleased, and I feel like with our performance, just as a unit, as a secondary, I feel like there wasn't – big plays given up, and I mean, and even I feel like maybe we can count one or two, but I feel like even then though, I feel like that's just a part of the game, but I feel like also with kind of a lot of scramble drills, Aaron kind of being back there patting the ball, I feel like that definitely makes it a lot harder. I feel like even in those situations, we still all stepped up and we're making, getting stops, and we're making things very difficult. So I feel like really overall, it was just about for us like communicating, being confident, being on the same page. And that's what we worked for really all week. So, I mean, when we got into the game, it was just about being confident, just going out there and playing and just doing what we know we can do. And that was really just being on the same page and making plays.
It was really impressive, man, because, like, there wasn't pressure on Aaron. He had the ball a lot and was waiting and was like, man, how is this happening? What was the key for you and DeAndre Houston Carson as the old heads? Because that's right, you're an old head now, Jalen. What was the key? Wow. What was the key to getting those youngsters, Jalen Jones, Elijah Hicks, and Blackwell? What was the key to getting all you guys communicating and staying connected the way you did?
I mean, honestly, I feel like it just really just came down to just effort and really just wanting to know what we wanted to accomplish. And I feel like it was something that we just talked about throughout the week. Like, once we knew who we had going into the game, it was just like, okay, so now we know who needs to step up. We know who's going to be filling in certain spots. So it was like, okay, so what can we do to make the guys more at ease, make the guys more confident going into the game? So, I mean, we just called like a little secondary only meeting and we just watch film, we watch certain plays, went over certain coverages and just like, how do we see certain things? How do you want to play it? And different things like that. And it was just like, for us, just kind of getting comfortable and being on the same page. Cause we clearly all never been on the field together in a game setting and things like that, having this particular combination of DBs out there on the field. So it was just really about getting comfortable throughout the week. And then really just on game day, I mean, just really going out there and letting it rip. I mean, in a sense, like we didn't have nothing to lose. Everybody was already, in a sense, counting us out and was like, oh, well, this secondary is so beat up and all this, all of that. So I was like, man, we're going to be out here, be confident. We're going to make plays. And, like, my biggest thing to them was, hey, man, go out here and make plays and talk mess to these dudes. Like, just have fun. Like, just play the game that you know you can play. And that's what, and I thought that's what we did. The young guys played with a lot of swag, a lot of confidence, and they rose to the occasion.
Our conversation with Jalen Johnson brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where science and compassion work together to transform lives. I wanted to ask you, did you and 12, did you and Aaron go back and forth in this game like last year?
Nah, it wasn't too much to talk about. I mean, I asked him if he was going to give me a pick, but he was like, nah, he only gave me the one target early in the game. He wasn't going to keep coming after me and things like that. But nah, I mean, it's always friendly talk. With a guy like him, it's much respect on both ends. And just playing against him for now my third year, it's always an honor to play against a competitor like that. And I feel like there's a lot of mutual respect for each other's game.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of respect. I know you know about this, but just for our audience, Jalen, we want to play this real quick. This is what Aaron Rodgers said about our guest, Jalen Johnson, after the game.
But again, Jalen is a premier player, but the other young guys played pretty well, so you got to give them credit. There was, you know, multiple times where it felt like getting out of the pocket, somebody's going to come open and scramble drill, and they locked down our guys, so they definitely deserve some credit for that.
A premier player, Jalen Johnson. That's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it. That's got to feel good down in your core.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It really just, in a sense, confirms what I already kind of believe in myself, and something that I work for, something that I strive to be. So, I mean, just having a guy of his caliber, somebody that I play year in and year out, and somebody that's familiar with me and still be able to go at it and battle and have that respect from him, I feel like just really confirms everything that I try to stand for and everything I'm trying to reach for.
Well, because you said today when you met the media at the press conference, you know, that you don't think you're going to make the Pro Bowl or anything like that because of, you know, the team's record and you don't have the interceptions and all of that. So, like, how does it – say again?
I was asking, that's what I said?
Yeah, that is what you said, right?
Nah, that's not what I said.
What did you say? What did you say?
They had asked me that. They was like, do you feel like your lack of interceptions and the team's record has an impact on you not going to the Pro Bowl? And I answered their initial question of, do I think I would go to the Pro Bowl? And I was like, no. And I had alluded and started saying and speaking on the fact that Pro Bowl goes into making highlight plays, and I don't feel like I have enough highlighted plays. And then I went on to say also it's a popularity game as well, and losing teams don't have that popularity, and we haven't won enough games, so it's like there's not enough popularity between me not making highlighted plays and so many big plays, and then the team not already being a favorite and everybody in a sense talking about us in a negative light from the losses and things like that. That also doesn't help. But I mean, it's not like I don't think that, oh, well, interceptions and you winning has, in a sense, something to do with the Pro Bowl. There's different ways you can make highlighted plays. But that was more so what I was saying, the lack of highlighted plays.
That makes sense. I guess all I was saying is, man, it seems like the actions of all of these quarterbacks tell us all we need to know about how damn good you are, man. They never throw at you. Like, That you, of course, you're not going to have a bunch of interceptions and highlight plays. You don't get any opportunities to do so.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling me everything that I thought about, everything I've heard. So, I mean, it's really, for me, like, that's not, I don't know, I can't control that at the end of the day. And it's like, I know the style of game. I know how the flow of the game goes when it's not just a simple, oh, well, he doesn't have any interceptions. It's like, man, if you really watch the game, there's not too many opportunities for me to get interceptions. And it's like, too, I haven't been so lucky in getting kind of bad balls thrown where someone's underthrown or thrown behind or a tip pass or a receiver bobbling the ball. Like, I haven't been lucky on that side to get some interceptions or some plays like that. So, I mean, it's not too much I can do, but I feel like when you watch my body of work, I feel like since I've entered the league, I feel like there's no question that I can cover the best receivers in the NFL. And I feel like that's, in a sense, there's some value in that. It's, I feel like there's different ways corners add value, and it's not just all about interceptions, but it's a, I feel like there's a value in being able to limit the passing game at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Locking down somebody or locking down your side. And now we know you're making us smarter as we talk to you every week. Jalen Johnson of the Bears with us on Parkins and Spiegel. That kid, Christian Watson, the rookie, he's got 8 total touchdowns in his last, I think it's 5 weeks. It's unbelievable. Is he special? What'd you think about him now that you got to look twice this time in a time when he's rolling a little bit?
Now, he definitely has some intangibles that allows him to make some big plays, and I feel like one of them really is his speed. And I feel like that was just something that we knew coming in. Like when they drafted him, it was like, okay, they're clearly going to try to get him out in space and throw him some deep balls or get him out on the edge and being able to showcase his speed. And I feel like that's what he does best. And I feel like that's really like how he caught a slant, I think it was against the Eagles, and he caught a slant, turned the corner, gassed him for 50, 60 yards, and then against us, he cuts a fly sweep. He goes for another 50 yards, and then just like so many like deep balls that he's had running by guys and things like that, it's just like you can definitely see his big playmaking ability. But I feel like it really just all comes and stems from his speed, and then I feel like really depending on how far he takes his game from there, I feel like he will just develop better route running or releases or things like that to even go on top of his speed. But I feel like right now he's definitely building something good in his first rookie year.
Speaking of releases and route running, what did you make about what Jair Alexander said about EQ, about Equanimeous St. Brown on that interception? Did you see what he said?
No, I have no idea.
He said, I'll just read it to you. He said, I knew it was coming. One thing about the receiver that I got the pick on, you're going to know when he's about to break down his route, so I already knew it. I envisioned it. I was telepathic because I had seen it before. He's just not as quick as some. He's just kind of slow with it. He's real slow, so it was just easy. Seems pretty damn harsh about a former teammate.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's how you felt. But, I mean, that's definitely – I mean, he spoke his truth. I feel like at the end of the day, I can't, in a sense, knock him for that. I mean, I feel like he does some things different. But I feel like at the end of the day, man, he's a playmaker. And if that's how he felt, if that's what his read was, and I feel like it was, in a sense, obvious. He was kind of sitting on it and things like that. And it was like, I feel like we were beating him deep throughout the game. And I feel like he was waiting for that moment. So, I mean, I feel like, in a sense, he's telling the truth. Like, he's seen that play because that's what he was waiting on. And I feel like he played that game very aggressively. And it paid off on that play. So, I mean, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
When you say he does some things different, you mean in the style that he plays? Like, he's always looking to jump routes like that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's one of those high-risk, high-reward type of guys. I feel like at times where he feels like he can get a beat on something, I feel like he's going to be really aggressive on what route he wants to make a play on. And I feel like that maybe that was his route for that week, that curl route that he ran, or I don't know the exact route or how he ran it, but I feel like that might have been his route of the week. But I feel like he's definitely an aggressive guy, and he's definitely going to take some risk. And I feel like there's times where it works out, and then there's times where he gets beat. And I feel like that's just his style of play at the end of the day.
Well, that's really interesting, man. Are you not that way? I remember we talked to you about Trevon Diggs, who was drafted right around you in your draft. Like that's another guy, right? He gets burned for some touchdowns, but he also gets a ton of interception numbers. And so then he gets those highlighted plays, and he gets talked about. Are you more conservative? Like you're not going to get beat, but you're also not going to jump routes? Or how would you maybe compare your style to like a Jair Alexander or a Trevon Diggs?
Well, I mean, for one, for me, I'm if I need to get a stopper. Like, I'm more of somebody that's going to challenge you. I'm going to get up on the line of scrimmage. I'm not playing off. I'm not playing, in a sense, reading routes. Like, nah, I'm more of a challenger, a one-on-one type of guy. So, I mean, that's just my style. So when it comes to a third down, or when it comes to, like, the game's getting tighter, it's like somebody needs to play, I'm getting up and pressing. I feel like a lot of picks don't come from being impressed, kind of with your back to the ball and kind of reading and reacting that way, versus playing off. You run the risk of, in a sense, trying to read routes or trying to read the quarterback, and it's like there's so many things that can go wrong in that. But if you are right, it's definitely some plays out there to be made. So, I mean, I feel like there's definitely a balance, and I feel like there's ways you can do it within each system. And I feel like each corner's system is slightly different on each play. So, I mean, there's some times where it seems like he's taking a risk, but he might have some help on a certain side. He might have some help deep or something to where he can be more aggressive. I feel like it's a lot that goes into corners jumping routes. I feel like it's not just as simple as, oh, well, he just takes risks. Like, nah, like if the defense allows me to take, in a sense, a risk or a smart risk, I would say, then that's what people do. Like, even where I do play off, or I do try to jump a route, but I mean, the ball's not thrown. So that's what I'm saying. I haven't been the luckiest, because I've done that and played off and jumped a route or did this, and the quarterback pumps the ball and then he throws the ball the other way. So it's like, for other people, they get those opportunities to jump it and the ball actually comes. So I feel like it just, I mean, everybody's situation is different. Every corner's game is different in their scheme and their defense and how they do things. I feel like it's all different.
They got you for a defensive holding and a 5-yard penalty early in the fourth. Was that a good call? Was that the right thing?
No, I disagree. I mean, I feel like I'm almost going to disagree with all my calls, but that one was definitely like, I don't know. I feel like it was nitpicking. I feel like it didn't really. I'm not going to say I didn't have my hand on him, but I feel like that wasn't deserving of a holding call.
See,
and the dude was stock blocking me. And I don't know, I thought it was weird, because he's trying to, in a sense, do a stock block and go. So it's like, you engage with me, I'm engaged back with you, and then you release with me. Now we're turning and running and playing. If you trip up, that's on you. Like, I'm not holding you. Like, I don't need to hold Randall Cobb like on that. Like, I don't need to hold him. So I don't see where they felt there was a flag yet.
See, I thought you might feel that way, because listen to what they said on the TV broadcast, man. We're sitting at home and
Jalen's gonna hate this.
I know. Wait, well, that's, he should know how Mark Schlereth talked about it during the game.
Well, Jalen Johnson just absolutely undressed Randall Cobb.
Prior to the pass, holding, defense number 33.
So we talked about the secondary, right?
Uh-huh.
A lot of younger guys, they're all trying to hold up. You got a whole quarter to try to hold up against Rodgers and these receivers.
Right, and just, I mean, you want to talk about, if you're going to hold, get your money's worth. That's I guess right here. He got the holding call.
Five penalties committed in this half by Chicago, four of which have been accepted.
They talked like you had your arms around the man's waist and dragged him down, Jalen.
Hey, man, that's how you felt. That's how you felt. But, I mean, in a sense, they sounded like some Rodgers fan. They sound like some Green Bay fans. So, I mean, this is nothing that surprises me. What I said earlier, people have everything to say against the Bears and Bears young secondary. And I'm not no damn young secondary. Like, I'm not young. Like, how does that have anything to do with my holding call? So it's clearly something that they just had a point against and was expecting penalties and things not to go our way. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by it at the end of the day, but I know that's not egregious for him to say I was undressing him. Like, nah, I've seen some DBs in the league undress some guys, and they didn't look like that.
That's what we thought. That's how we thought you were going to feel. All right, one more football question for you. Jack Sanborn. Undrafted guy, 9 tackles in the first half. Fans are kind of, you know, this is a middle linebacker town, you know, Urlacher and Singletary and Butkus. And is Sanborn the next great one? What's it like to play with him out there?
I mean, it's crazy, because it's like, for me, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't realize how productive somebody is until kind of like, I don't even want to say after the season, but until like I hear some stats. Like, I would have never guessed he had 9 tackles in the first half until you kind of said things like that. So it's like, for me, like, once I kind of like go back and watch film, I'm okay, like, nah, showing up. And it's like one of those things where it's like, he's in a sense, still young, but it's like he's so like aggressive. He's not scared of the moment. And I feel like at times there's some things where he may not be in the right position or different things like that. But it just comes with, I feel like, that position and being in the middle and going against, I feel like, the quarterback and being that Mike linebacker. I feel like there's a lot of things that go into it. But I feel like he's took it on head first. I feel like he's been making plays in the run in the past. I feel like he's been showing up. And I feel like it just goes to, I mean, just goes to his character, his preparation that he's been doing all year. I mean, he clearly hasn't played too much except for special teams until I feel like Roquan got traded. And then he took on that role. Like, it wasn't nothing that he really had to learn so much of, because I feel like he absorbed so much from Roquan. He observed and kind of had a lot of mental notes. So when he got into the game, it was more so just now physically executing it. But I feel like he's definitely done a really good job preparing. And I feel like the ceiling, I feel like, he can go as high as he want to go with it. And once he keeps going and building, preparing, and getting more confident, I feel like there's not anything that he won't be able to do.
Jalen, we know you're traveling back out west to see your daughter. She was adorable when she was on the interview with you a few weeks ago. I got young kids. Speaks is a father as well. What are your favorite things to do with your daughter? What are you guys gonna do over the next few days?
What's my favorite thing? My favorite thing would probably go to like an indoor like playground jungle gym. I know she enjoys that. I feel like as she's getting older, she's starting to get into like the little Barbie dolls, and she wants to dress up and have it like wear the Encanto character dresses, and she wants to do all that stuff. She definitely likes to get out there and get active. Well, so I mean, depending on the weather, we might hit the park, hit a indoor jungle gym and things like that, and wear her out so she can be out a little early.
That's awesome. Well, don't talk about Bruno. If you're doing Encanto, just don't talk about Bruno, Jalen. All right.
She knows all the words to all the songs.
Jalen, enjoy your bye week, man. Thanks for still making time for the show. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you when you get back. All right.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Jalen. Thank you.
That's Jalen Johnson. Stand up, dude.
You know what I love? He said, "What's your favorite thing to do with her?" And he said, "Well, I like to go to an indoor playground because she likes that." Like, he's already thinking, like, what does she like to do?
Yeah.
He wants to watch her be happy and explore the world.
Yeah. But then also wear her out so then she goes to sleep early. That's the dad of a toddler right there. I speak that language fluently. Oh, we can get him to sleep an extra 15 minutes and he'll definitely sleep through the night.
Oh,
let's run some more wind sprints. Want to play chase again? Absolutely.
Adam Amin and Schlereth were Rodgers fans.
That is incredible. The play that seemed to be the biggest step forward in terms of Justin Fields' passing game development. We'll explore it from all angles next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fields with two receivers to the right. Snap is back. They are bringing extras. Everything's picked up. He steps up against the pressure, stops and pops. Wide open left side. Come at the catch. Down the sideline. He's still fighting. What's and now they blow the whistle. And Cole Kmet inside the 35-yard line of the Green Bay Packers. Terrific job for Justin Fields to find him instead of leaving the pocket 24 yards and a first down.
This is the maturity that we talk about with a young quarterback. Knowing where your outlet is. Knowing where everybody is. Kmet sneaks out, chips, sneaks out down the sideline, and you're climbing the pocket. You don't see it. You just know where he is, and then you find him and throw it. That's a beautiful job by the young quarterback Fields.
It felt like the type of play that maybe wouldn't get a plus-plus from Dilfer on the grading.
Oh, I think it would. I'm curious.
Because I think plus-plus was, you know, did it by himself, and there aren't other guys who can make it. And I look at that as the type of play that the mobile quarterbacks that are pass-first but can run or can extend the pass plays with their feet can make it. Like, I think Rodgers can do that. I know Mahomes and Rodgers and Allen and Herbert and those guys can do it. We didn't really know if Fields could do it, and it felt like he was – it didn't feel like that was a one-of-one play. The touchdown run would be a plus-plus play. I'm not positive that that would have been, but we'll never know. He's coaching –
there's no way to know.
Yeah, he's coaching
there's
UAB
no way to know.
Now. Yeah.
But relative to Justin –
yeah,
I think it is absolutely a plus-plus play because he has established that he will run, he can run. I bet 3 weeks ago or a month ago, he runs in that situation every time because he had open field in front of him.
Right.
It was there. And now his job is to keep defenses honest and to keep them thinking that he might throw it. So that's why it's a huge double plus for me, and I suspect would be for Trent, but either way, and, you know, Matt Eberflus called it the most impressive play of the day for Justin Fields, and it's a tuck and run that turns into the pass instead. And I'm sitting there watching it with Pat Manley yesterday, and we're talking about the value of that on so many levels because he's not exposed to a hit.
Yep.
Justin Fields is not exposed to a hit. And if that's in his mind at all because he's now gotten hurt and he's like, you know, when I can throw it, I probably should. Like, that's a healthy thing to add in there, and I feel like that was there. He doesn't get tired from running a bunch more yards and have to go down on a slide. And Cole Kmet feels rewarded. His confidence grows, and he's like, oh, man, look at this. All I got to do is get open, and my guy's going to find me. And the defense knows they have to continue to cover. They got to cover the outside third. Can't just come charging into the middle when it looks like Fields is scrambling. So to me, it's a massively important play. And I hope that the rest of the year is filled with a tuck and run that turns into a throw like that. I think it's like exactly what you want for a quarterback who's established his identity, which is I will run through you, past you, fly by you. Now I'm going to show you that every once in a while, I'm going to choose this and burn you this way.
Well, I hope it's more than every once in a while. Like what was so special to me about that game yesterday was, in theory, that's how it's going to look for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who was saying that 6-week explosion was unsustainable, we were all like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's doing what he needs to do now to score points with nothing else around him as he's developing, as he's getting more comfortable. But he will still have that. Like, a great pitcher works off of his fastball.
Exactly.
But then he has the changeup, but he's got other things. Like, the running game will hopefully be his changeup. He'll have it. He might have it better than others and basically anybody else other than Lamar Jackson. He might throw it more than most people do.
It's been the fastball, though. It's been the fastball.
It's been the fastball.
Yes.
And yesterday, the running game was the changeup. And the threat of the running game does other things. The threat of the running game helps that Komet play.
You bet.
The threat of the running game has that Evans run be whatever it was, 13 yards, 15 yards, whatever it was when he got him inside the 10-yard line. Like, like he holds two defenders there, and he gives it, and that ends up that's a Justin Fields-created run play, even though nothing shows up in the stat sheet for him.
Yes, absolutely.
And so to me, that was what was special about yesterday was, in theory, yesterday was the glimpse of the actual future with Justin Fields.
100%. Tuck and runs can turn into tuck and extend. You know, tuck and extend a play, and he did it a few different times. Later on that same drive, Danny, after the Komet, that Komet play, he does it again on a third and goal. He makes a throw, I think it's to St. Brown on a crosser, and he doesn't get all the way to the end zone, but he still makes the throw as he's approaching the line of scrimmage, and it's great to see. Did you think on the Komet play, by the way, he knew he had him earlier and then ran a couple extra steps and deked with his eyes to get Komet even more open to get more yards? That's what it looked like toying with that DB who was leaving Komet to come to him in the middle.
The game felt like it slowed down for him. And the Packers defense has been very bad and disappointing, right? So it's got to be sustained, but it felt like the game slowed down from him.
I'll give you one other play where he doesn't do that. And on the rewatch, I rewatched all the offensive possessions this morning. Third and nine before the field goal on the opening drive. He, if anybody wants to rewatch or has looked at it or maybe already saw it, but like he starts scrambling and does run for 8 yards on third and nine, but he's short and they kick the field goal. That Darrington Evans, the little running back, is just leaking out on the left side right where he is. And that was a moment where he could have shown the run and just flipped it over the defender to Evans, and it's probably a walk-in touchdown. Those kind of things. The kind of things we see Mahomes do by default or Josh Allen do by default, but they're not as young in terms of establishing themselves, and they're not as explosive as Justin, who probably thinks he can get the nine.
That's the difference, really. I mean, because Allen is powerful, Mahomes is mobile, and will run. Like when Mahomes runs, it's almost always tuck and run, and it's almost never ends in a hit because he's not trying to break tackles or explode anything. It's just he's a really good athlete who's a quarterback, and so if there's 7 yards there to get, he'll get 7 yards, and then he'll slide. You know, he doesn't do anything like extra special in the running game. He's just mobile, and he can extend plays to pass, but he's always looking to pass. Fields is a runner. Yeah. He ran 20 miles an hour and felt slow. Like, you know what I mean? He's setting records with the running game. Six straight games with a rushing touchdown, three running rushing touchdowns of 50 yards or more.
Thoroughly
no
empowered.
No one's done that in a career. He's done it in a season.
Empowered and encouraged by the coaches to go ahead and lean into it. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And I must admit that ever since he looked a little slower and a little banged up early in the Atlanta game, I have harbored this dream. And now that he's been hurt, I'm harboring it. I feel like we saw it yesterday. Know that you can protect yourself a number of ways. You can get out of bounds. You can protect yourself by sliding. You can also protect yourself by throwing instead, by tucking and running and extending a play. And before you cross that line of scrimmage, going ahead and dumping it off to get 10, 12 yards instead of running for 10, 12 yards. You're protecting yourself. You're building confidence. You're keeping a defense honest. And if he leans into that a little bit more in the back half of the year because he's been hurt and he understands the value, then that would be a phenomenal thing for development.
Want to end the show with a little personal moment of gratitude. Then we'll get out of here on a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Real good.
Thank you, Gail.
Personal personal moment here of gratitude. I've let the audience, talked to you guys. You know, you're part of the family, you're the mob. And it's been a hard few weeks, years, really. So I'm going to be out tomorrow. I'm going to be attending my best friend's father's funeral about 3 weeks after my dad died. So that is very tough. I got that news on Friday, like right after the show. So very sorry that I'll be out tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday for our holiday party. But I didn't really want to bring everyone down. Just wanted to kind of give a preemptive explanation as to why it'll be weird that I'll be off just one day and then back the next. But today is December 5th, 30 months ago today, 2.5 years ago, is when we found out that Brad was diagnosed with glioblastoma.
Wow, 2.5 years.
2.5 years, man.
So that's 2.5 times what they told you was the life expectancy, something like that,
well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the median is, you know, if you go based on the numbers and you Google it, let's put it this way. They did not think he was going to be here. He is bucking the odds, bucking the trends, fighting like hell, being amazing. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So super emotional day for the family because it's like we've had all these hardships and all these things. But in that 2.5 years, you know, I got a kid who's turning 3 in January. So that's a great thing. Eli came. That's a great thing. But my dad was real sick and that was a real hard thing. And Brad's battling his thing, and that's a real hard thing. This job creates its own pressures, and just like, man, my life has been complicated for it feels like years now. And sometimes, because it has been years, but this show in 2 to 6 is, I've said before, that it honestly, like, my vacation feels like coming here and the red light going on and all of that. I haven't always been the best version of myself as a talk show host or a brother or a son or a husband or all that, but I try my best to be the best at all of those things. And so, like, today we're celebrating a little bit as a family, even though we're grieving the loss of a very, very close family friend who actually had become kind of a cancer support system with Brad. They would always text each other when they were going through their treatments, and they gave each other little gifts and words of encouragement and all that stuff. So you know, so very, it's weird. It's like very hard times, but also needing to look for the gratitude, right? So, like, tomorrow we're all getting ready to go to this funeral that's devastating, but Brad will also be doing treatment tomorrow, celebrating 2.5 years of living with glioblastoma and brain cancer. So I got a lot on my mind always, and so I just want to thank you and Shane and Tanny and everyone in this audience, Mitch and everyone here at Odyssey, been very supportive because it has not been easy. But today, celebrating my brother Brad, 2.5 years, man.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I call Justin Fields Superman, but really, really Brad is Superman. So it's pretty incredible.
He is, and you know, I got to say, from all the times I've had a chance to interact with him, he's a delight. Funny, smart, and, you know, maybe funnier than you.
Yo, yeah, man.
I think so.
I always said that he is the more popular Parkins, the more popular brother, would be the better talk show host. My friends think they
grew- I don't know about that.
I mean, if he would have worked at it, if he would have chosen this path, he's got takes. He's got some takes. But yeah, so just, you know, I love him very much.
Props to you, Brad. Been a pleasure knowing you and getting to know you the way we have.
Yeah, big day for the family today. 30 months, man. I would love to have said it's flown by. It hasn't. In some ways, it's felt like 30 years, but it is a good day. So I will not be here tomorrow. I'll be back on Wednesday. Shane will be back tomorrow. Thank you to Studs for sitting in. What do we have tonight? We got no Bulls until Wednesday, so you guys could probably do a lot of Bulls on the show tomorrow. We'll squeeze some in Wednesday. Zach LaVine finally had a good aggressive game. 41 points against the Kings. Taking the ball to the hoop. Looked pretty good, honestly, because nothing else looks good. Thank you to Jalen Johnson and Mark Grody. They were our guests on today's radio program. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat and video stream. Thanks to Studs for doing a great job on Friday. And today, in for Shane Reardon. Thank you to Chris Tannehill. He makes us sound better than we are each and every day.
Ryan McGuffey, is that right?
Ryan McGuffey tomorrow from NBC Sports Chicago. Lots of baseball and winter meetings and lots of Bears, too. Guff is great, not just on baseball. Should be a fun day.
That should be fun. Mike, and when I'm gone, usually some sort of massive baseball news happens. That's happened multiple times. So maybe we'll get a Chicago signing of note tomorrow.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So for Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. I'll be back Wednesday for the Parkins and Spiegel On Air Holiday Party. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.